6 p.m. I'll call the meeting of Pleasant Prairie Planning Commission to order. Esther Kurtz, please read the roll.
Thomas Turwall.
Here.
Michael Serpy.
Here.
Wayne Castle.
Here.
Deb Scarter's excused. Jim Bandura.
Here.
Judy Giuliana.
Here.
Bill Stobig.
Here.
John Skalbeck.
Here.
Brock Williamson's excused.
We have a quorum. We'll move ahead then to item 3. Consider approval of the February 12th Planning Commission meeting minutes. What's your pleasure?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the January 12th Planning Commission meeting as presented in written form. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Correspondence, Jean?
I have none this evening.
Move ahead then to citizens' comments. If you're here for an item that appears on the agenda as a matter for public hearing, we would ask that you hold your comments until that public hearing is called so we can incorporate your comments as a part of the official record. Or if you want to raise an issue that is not a public hearing or does not appear on the agenda, that would be your opportunity. We ask you to step to the microphone and begin by your name and address. Anybody wishing to speak on the citizens' comments? Anybody wishing to speak? Seeing none, then we'll move ahead.
Mr. Chairman, before we go into the agenda, I notice item B through E pertain to the same subject. Could we have the presentation for all four of them and then have separate votes?
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to combine items B through E for one presentation and separate votes. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Jean?
Okay, we'll start with item A. Item A is a public hearing and consideration of a preliminary plat for John Sorensen, agent for U.S. Shelter Companies, LLC, owners of the vacant properties generally located south of 89th Place at 106th Avenue, which is south of the Heritage Valley subdivision, for the development of 45 single-family lots to be known as River Run at Heritage Valley. The petitioner is requesting approval, then, of a preliminary plat to develop two vacant properties south of the Heritage Valley subdivision, generally located south of 89th Place at 106th Avenue in the village. This would be for 45 single-family lots, and the subdivision would be known as River Run at Heritage Valley. There have been some previous approvals for this development to date. On August 28, 2017, the Village Plan Commission held public hearings, and on September 18, 2017, the Village Board conditionally approved the following items related to the proposed single-family residential development. First, there is a comprehensive plan amendment related to the Pleasant Farms Neighborhood Plan, Ordinance 17-43, as shown on the slide. Second, a conceptual plan for the development. And third, a floodplain boundary adjustment, and that was with Village Board Resolution 17-34. As discussed at the aforementioned public hearings, the existing Heritage Valley Phase 1 subdivision included 32 single-family lots that were originally platted in 1993, with additional phases proposed for a total of 176 single-family lots. Since 1993, the additional phases of the Heritage Valley subdivision, as originally proposed, had not been platted or developed. The new developer, U.S. Shelter Companies, LLC, recently purchased approximately 24 acres of the land for the residential development of the 45 lots to be known as River Run at Heritage Valley. And looking at the bigger picture, the remaining vacant land, approximately 22 acres, originally included the subsequent phases of the Heritage Valley subdivision. But that is not owned by the petitioner, but it could, in the future, with a subsequent developer, be developed with an additional 49 additional single-family lots. Therefore, the master plan for the original Heritage Valley subdivision boundaries could eventually be developed with about 94 single-family lots rather than the 140 lots as was originally proposed back in 1993. River Run at Heritage Valley preliminary plat. As noted, the petitioner is proposing to develop 24 acres for approximately 45 single-family lots in three phases. Phase 1 includes 13 single-family lots, Phase 2, 23 single-family lots, and Phase 3 includes 9 single-family lots. The single-family residential development, About 13.82 acres are proposed to be developed into lots and outlots. The single-family lots range in size from 12,501 square feet to 17,757 square feet per lot, with the average lot size of 13,379 square feet. The lots shall meet the minimum requirements of the R4.5 Urban Single Family Residential District, which requires each lot to be a minimum of 12,500 square feet with 80 feet of lot width or street frontage. All lots have a minimum lot depth of at least 125 feet. The 32 lots in the existing Heritage Valley subdivision do have an average lot size of about 14,799 square feet. Outlots. All of the wetlands, floodplain, and stormwater retention facilities for the development will be located within outlots in the development. Outlots 1 and 4 are proposed to be dedicated with a fee interest transfer to the village and will be combined with the adjacent property, Outlot 1 of the Heritage Valley Phase 1, Unit 1 subdivision that is owned currently by the village, and that's at the very southeastern end of this plat. These outlot areas are primarily wetlands and 100-year floodplain. The outlots shall be labeled as Outlot 1, dedicated by the developer to the Village of Pleasant Prairie for open space, floodplain, and wetland preservation and protection, access and maintenance purposes. Outlot 2 is proposed to be retained by the developer. This outlot is not considered a buildable lot since it does meet the 125 feet of lot depth at this time. This outlot would be subdivided as a buildable lots if and when additional land is acquired from the adjacent landowner to meet the minimum lot depth requirements. The outlot shall be labeled Outlot 2 to be retained by the developer for possible future residential development. Outlot 3, which is located in the southwestern corner of the development, is proposed to be dedicated through a fee interest transfer as common open space to the River Run and Heritage Valley Homeowners Association, Inc. The outlot shall be labeled as Outlot 3, dedicated by the developer to the River Run and Heritage Valley Homeowners Association, Inc. for open space, stormwater, drainage, detention basin, floodplain, wetland preservation and protection, access and maintenance purposes. The wetland areas shall be separately delineated and identified within the outlot. There shall be an easement over the same area of Outlot 3 granted to the village for the same open space, stormwater, drainage, retention basin, floodplain and wetland preservation and protection, access and maintenance purposes. The village shall grant a temporary sanitary sewer lift station, access and maintenance easement with an illustration, which shall be prepared by the developer for the site grading and the construction of the sanitary sewer lift station to serve the residential development. This easement will be located within Outlot 1 of the Heritage Valley Phase 1, Unit 1 subdivision and adjacent to 91st Place. That's tax parcel 924-122-184-0450. Note, the Kenosha County Interactive Mapping System incorrectly references the abutting street as 89th Place, so that does need to get corrected. Population projections for River Run at Heritage Valley Subdivision. Based on the 2010 census information for the village, the average number of persons per household is 2.71, and school-aged children between the ages of 5 and 19 make up 22.6% of the population. Therefore, based on the 45 lots shown, it's projected that 122 persons could be added to the population at full build-out of this plat or the development. Pursuant to the information provided by KUSD, a total of up to 19 public school-aged children are likely to come from this development at its full build-out. Next, we have floodplain boundary adjustment information. The village requires that all lots be created outside of the 100-year floodplain. As such, the developer will be adjusting the location of the 100-year floodplain to remove any floodplain from the lots and showing 100-year floodplain within the outlots. On September 18, 2017, the board approved Resolution 17-34, and the developer has requested that the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, approve a conditional letter of map revision so that the floodplain adjustment could commence. Wetlands on the site. The wetlands were redelineated in 2016 by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, an assured wetland delineator with R.A. Smith National, Inc., A number of small pocket wetlands now exist on the property. The Wisconsin DNR has exempted Wetland Area 3 from the state wetland regulations since this was a temporary basin constructed by the developer of Heritage Valley in 1993. As indicated in a letter dated May 17, 2017, the developer has also obtained approval from the Wisconsin DNR to fill Wetland Area 1, which is just over 1,800 square feet, and Area 2, which is 553 square feet, and this is pursuant to a permit dated July 14, 2017. The Army Corps of Engineers will not be taking jurisdiction over these wetlands pursuant to the attached letter dated July 7, 2017. And wetlands 4 and 5 will be protected and will be located within outlots. With respect to site access, this development will utilize two existing public access points on a County Trunk Highway C through 106th Avenue and 104th Avenue for access to the subdivision. Due to the location of existing development and environmental features, no additional access to Highway C or Wilmot Road is feasible. At the August 28, 2017 public hearing, the neighbors expressed concern regarding the existing subdivision access to County Highway C and the existing traffic on Highway C. The Plan Commission requested that the village staff meet with Kenosha County to discuss the traffic on Highway C and come up with any alternatives to help alleviate the existing issues and future traffic concerns when the vacant land develops. On September 6, 2017, the village staff met with representatives of Kenosha County to further discuss the project. Kenosha County and the village staff required that the developer prepare a limited traffic impact analysis, or TIA, that was subsequently evaluated by Kenosha County and the village to determine what, if any, possible solutions could exist, or excuse me, could assist in mitigating the perceived traffic problems. A TIA was completed by R.A. Smith to review the subdivision intersections at Highway C. The overall conclusion of the report and the county recommendations are noted below. This is from the county. The River Run and future off-site residential developments are expected to increase traffic and side street delay at the study intersections. However, the traffic impacts are expected to be minor, and all study intersection improvements were shown to operate well under capacity with the additional traffic. Therefore, no roadway improvements are recommended with the developments. The addition of turn lanes would not improve the LOS, which is the level of service, and the intersection volumes are well below meeting the warrants for any type of traffic signal. Kenosha County reviewed the TIA and concurs with the conclusions and is not requiring any improvements at this time. The village also had an independent consultant, TADI, which is Traffic Analysis and Design, Inc., review the TIA report, and TADI also concurred with the TIA analysis and its conclusions. The village then met with Kenosha County Highway Commissioner to discuss the TIA and the resident traffic concerns. Upon discussion, the county is aware of the concerns and will continue to monitor the traffic conditions as traffic continues to grow in the future. The county agreed to work with the village in planning and developing overall area traffic improvements as may be warranted within the Highway C corridor. Construction access. Determining construction access to the River Run development has been somewhat challenging. The developer had made several attempts to acquire temporary gravel access driveways from an adjacent farmer landowner to the east and the landowner to the west without any success. One final possible access location was determined at the southwestern corner of the site through the Bethany Church property, but existing and future floodplain restricted that access. As such, the village engineers and public works director recommended that the village's 106th Avenue existing public roadway be used as construction access to the site. There would be limitations placed on the developer to limit the time of construction, reduce the speeds, and to take great care to keep the roadway free of debris, mud, and stone during construction. If any damages occur to the existing roadways, it will be the developer's responsibility to repair those damages at the developer's cost upon inspection by the village and to the village's satisfaction. Prior to work commencing, the roadway will be photographed, videoed, and inspected by the village. With respect to public improvements, all public improvements shall be made by the developer at the developer's expense. The entire development shall be provided with and serviced by municipal roadways, sanitary sewer, water, and storm sewer. A number of new streets are proposed to be developed with full public improvements, which includes sewer, water, storm sewer, sidewalks, roadways, and street trees. Including the extension south of 105th and 106th Avenues, 107th Avenue, 90th Street, and 91st Place. Specifically, the improvements include the following. First, municipal roadways shall be extended throughout the development pursuant to the village's new development standard. For example, roadway pavement will be reduced from 37 feet to 33 feet back a curb to back a curb for all roadways. Also, public sidewalks shall be extended on both sides of each public street. Alternate side parking regulations will be in effect for the development. All streets except 90th Street that will be further extended with another phase or another development shall end in a temporary asphalt paved cul-de-sac. The location shall be shown on the engineering plans. Off-site easements may be required at the temporary terminus of any street. The 90th Street roadway and utility improvements to the property limits will be required. A sign shall be placed which indicates that the road will be extended in the future. Temporary Type 3 roadway barricades shall be installed at the developer's expense. Under municipal water shall be extended throughout the development and shall connect to the existing municipal water within the Heritage Valley subdivision. Municipal sanitary sewer and lift station shall be extended from the existing sewer within Heritage Valley subdivision. In addition, a lift station and brick-constructed housing unit is required for the development for phases 2 and 3 of the River Run development and future development to the west. The lift station is proposed to be located on village property and shall not be constructed within any 100-year floodplain or wetlands. The developer is responsible to have these delineations completed. In addition, the developer is responsible for designing and installing the sanitary sewer that will maintain the lift station. The village shall grant a temporary sanitary sewer lift station access and maintenance easement with an illustration prepared by the developer for the site grading and construction of that lift station to serve the residential development. The easement will be located within Outlot 1 of the Heritage Valley Phase 1 Unit 1 subdivision, adjacent to 91st Place. Under pedestrian path connection, at the August 28, 2017 public hearing, discussion was held related to a pedestrian connection to the existing Prairie Farms bike path. On September 6, 2017, the village staff met with representatives from Kenosha County, and it was discussed that a paved multi-use path is planned to be installed along the south side of Highway C that will connect to the existing paths at 114th Avenue to the west and Prairie Farms Trail to the east. This path is being installed by Kenosha County in the summer of 2018 or 2019. And you can see the path connections on the screen. Zoning map amendment. The single-family lots are intended to be rezoned into the R4.5 Urban Single Family Residential District. The wetlands to remain will be rezoned into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District. The non-wetland areas in the outlots will be rezoned to the PR1, Neighborhood Park and Recreation District, Recreational District, and the 100-year floodplain after the amendment will be located within the FPO Floodplain Overlay District. The zoning map amendment application shall be submitted and considered at that time when the final plat is considered. A separate zoning map amendment would be required, again, specifically for that floodplain boundary adjustment grading work that has been completed and final approval has been obtained from FEMA. In addition, each time that the zoning map is requested to be amended, an amendment to the village's comprehensive land use plan, map 9.9, will also be required in order to ensure that the zoning map and the land use plan map are consistent. With that, I would like to continue the public hearing and introduce representatives, Mr. Sorensen from U.S. Shelters, to see if they would like to make any further presentation at this time.
I'm John Sorensen with U.S. Shelter, the owner of the property that we're discussing
Give us your address for the record, would you please?
31632 North Atlas Drive, Suite 213, Colwell, Illinois.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we do have a representative from R.A. Smith, Pat, who had performed the traffic study for us here to take any questions.
Did a bad job.
Thank you.
Open it up, Gene. Is there anybody else wishing to speak on this matter? Anybody wishing to speak? Oh. Yes, sir.
So I'm Dennis Erbelbach, 8995 on Hundred Fifth Avenue. One thing that came up in what we just discussed was talking about the streets going from 37 feet to 33 feet wide. So I'm assuming that with the new extension, then the streets would be 4 feet less wide. So how
I will have our village engineer, Matt Feinauer, answer the question, and then he'll also talk to you about how it transitions. The type of road construction is now a concrete road, and that we will have sidewalks in each side as well. So,
Matt?
So the roadway width, what that will look like is it will transition with a taper. So it will be from you'll see the 4 feet difference taper in over a period of a course of maybe 25 or 50 feet. I forgot the exact length, but it will be tapered down. The new roadways also are, they'll look like an asphalt road because they'll have asphalt on top, but they'll have 7 inches of concrete below it, so it's a beefier road than our older standards. That answers the question. Correct. Let me go back to the road tapers. The road tapers on either side, so you have 37 feet to 33 feet. It's usually on each side, it's a 2 foot difference. So it's not that big. You know, you look at it over 25 feet, it's not a very substantial change. The sidewalks, they are not being extended into the overall subdivision. I think there's one road on 106 where there's one lot that it extends into just to get to an intersection, but the remaining part of the subdivision won't have sidewalks, at least at this time, with this development.
So the street yard setback is 30 feet from the property line or the street right-of-way to the foundation of the home. The side yard setbacks are 10 feet, and the rear yard is 25, which is the exact same as what's in the subdivision currently. 10 feet. Correct, just like in the existing phase.
Thank you.
The sidewalk at that location, the proposed subdivision is ending one lot short of an intersection. So the two options are is you can leave a sidewalk at the end of the lot and not go to the intersection, or typically the sidewalks, if they're that close, you want to get them to the intersection. The remaining portion of the subdivision won't have sidewalks at this time. Doesn't mean that sometime in the future that they couldn't have sidewalks going to a path, you know, a nearby path for walkability, but the extension of that sidewalk in this particular case is because it is one lot short of an intersection. Typically, you want to get them to an intersection.
Could I ask a question, man?
Yeah.
Is there any? I understand where she's coming from, and I think she has a legitimate complaint. couldn't that, where the sidewalks are being put in, just short of her house, couldn't there be a piece going down to the street? Because everybody, right now, people walk in the street over there.
You could on both sides. Take it to the street on both sides before then. Then they could walk on the street without a sidewalk.
That's something to
I mean, I have invested a lot of money into a spring course system, and not that a dog is expensive, but I've had it fixed twice because I've broken the line. It cost me $800 to fix that line. And it adds up. And as a homeowner, I've lived here a long time to not expect that I would have to. And I've replaced the stupid tree in that line as well because it was required by the village to have tree lines. So I've put some money into my property. I just don't want a sidewalk. I want to be like the rest of my subdivision, which does not have sidewalks.
Could I just ask that we look at that?
Okay. Yes. You need to come up to the microphone.
So after this process, we would plan on applying for the final plat, and proper notices would go out. I believe that's a number of hearings. And from there, we would start with paving plans.
Sometime in summer, then, you think?
Summer. Late spring, early summer, yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else?
When we met back in August 28th, we talked about how with the floodplains, and I expressed some concern that, I mean, I've lived in the house for 4 years, but the previous owner was 20-some years, and they said they've never had any issues with the flooding basement. And with the floodplain being touched, I had concerns about that. And one of the things that was commented the last time was that the Army Corps of Engineers was going to be checking it, and their expertise would be included, which is great. But you mentioned, I think, one or two of them, the Army Corps of Engineers would not be involved with that, right? Was there something there that, I guess, we can be assured that there's not going to be an issue with the basements coming down the road here with the Army Corps of Engineers not being involved with that flood change?
So there's two different things that we're talking about. One is wetlands. Those are pocket wetlands. Peggy's just put up the slide. Due to grading or, you know, movement of the soil, those little pocket wetlands that have been created, she's going to circle a couple of them, they were just created by lack of proper grading from the previous developer. And so those are just pocket wetlands. And two of them, one was like 1,200 square feet, the other is 500 square feet. Those are going to be filled. So those little pockets of standing water are not going to be there anymore. The other larger wetlands are within outlot areas. They are not going to be disturbed. The second thing we talked about were floodplains. And at the very south end of the development, what they're doing is a cut and fill. It's an engineering analysis where they're going to cut certain areas to create buildable lots, and then they're going to create floodplain elsewhere. So there's a cut and fill. They're going to fill the lot areas. They're going to cut other areas. And it's at least an equal, if not greater. And their engineer is here. He can talk about the specific numbers of how much. But the intent is not to create any additional floodplain not to create any additional flooding, for the residents within the development. And they are creating additional floodplain storage in order to store additional water at the south end of the development. Everything in this development is kind of really moving to the south, southwest towards the river. But their engineer is here if he wants to add anything to that.
The traffic engineer.
Sorry, then the developer can add to it. Wrong engineer. Actually, the Army Corps only deals with wetlands, and the floodplain goes to the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
I had a question. So when you fill that, does that floodplain line actually change so that the lot and the road are no longer in the floodplain?
Anybody else?
Or your traffic engineer.
Yeah. Have all with Ari Smith. The existing traffic controls in place would be the same that we use during the construction of the subdivision.
We need your address for the record. We need your address for the record. Sorry.
Anybody else? Comments or questions, commissioners?
I got it.
Mike?
Mr. Ari Smith, could you come to the podium, please? I accept your traffic study. I just have a couple questions for you. Do you take into consideration the speed on Highway C on the traffic? Okay, the speed on Highway C is quite significant. Okay, the speed limits in the city are being violated, and they don't even exist anymore. The speed on Highway C is close to interstate speed at certain times of the day. I guess what I'm asking, at least we have to give these people some type of safety that's heading west on Highway C that's going to make a left-hand turn on 104th or 106th with bypass lanes. Otherwise, we're going to be having accidents in that area that are going to be bad. And I don't know, do you take that into consideration in your study? Yeah, we have a significant amount of cars that are going to be added to that subdivision that are going to be making a left-hand turn from westbound into the subdivision. I just can't for the life of me. We have an opportunity right now where we can have the developer pay for this. If we put bypass lane, at least a bypass lane in there, give these people a chance, because there's nothing worse than seeing somebody come up in your rearview mirror at about 65 miles an hour and it's not going to stop. And it happens all too often. I was a cop for 28 years in the city of Kenosha. I did my share of accident investigation. And right now we can do something to protect these people, and we're not going to do it. And I'm sorry, I'm opposed to that.
Anybody else?
Tom.
Go to Wayne.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, since I've been on the Plan Commission, we've always planned for orderly, well-planned development that would enhance the village of Pleasant Prairie and our residents. I'm not against the subdivision in itself, but I'm against the way the egress and ingress is going to be handled at 106th and Highway C. And I cannot vote for that subdivision. In fact, until that is resolved, I'm going to ask the commission to table it until the egress is ingress is resolved there. Because I can't see people getting killed trying to turn left into their driveway.
Tom.
Well,
I tend to agree with both commissioners here. There's a definite problem. I use that Highway C, come down 104th. 104th, there's a blind curve coming from the east. And to not have some kind of escape lane there is it just doesn't stand to reason. One of the things that I noticed, and Gene, you mentioned in your report here that you had the report reviewed by TADI.
Teddy.
Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to look at a number of reports through my occupation, and I know that a lot of times these reports can be written to sway one way or another. So I really want to see that this report really takes in account that there is a need for some kind of escape lane or whatever. Another problem I see on this is on 104th, all the construction traffic is going to go down that skinny little drive. No?
No, that's not the designated construction route, 106.
So it's going on 106. Okay, that's right. Even worse.
That's what we had our engineers had determined that 104th is a much narrower road and 106
right.
would be the main road. Again, this is not our highway, and I'll have our engineer discuss this further, but we brought this forth a couple of times back to the county highway department, and it's not our highway, it's not our decision. They have to approve of whatever is done. At this point, I don't know that the developer has any objection, but the county said that no improvements are warranted at this time, and so we can't make improvements on a county highway if the county says no improvements are warranted. So,
Jane,
I don't know.
This village gets along with the county very well, especially since Jim Cruiser has become the county executive. And I can't imagine, if I have to call for a special meeting or a special audience with Cruiser, I'll do it. I'm adamant on this, that this has to be addressed. Matt, let me ask you this. Is there room for a bypass lane westbound on Highway C?
Mike, I agree with you. I would go along with the meeting with the county exec too with you.
I would too.
There has to be some resolution there on either a bypass lane or a roundabout there to handle that traffic. I feel very strongly on that. I'm not going to back down the movie table it until we get the egress and ingress resolved.
I'm going to hear what Matt has to say.
So as far as the bypass lane, we'd have to look at the existing right-of-way to see if there is enough room or not enough room. With the report, we did have Taddy, which is somebody that we hired to peer review the report just so we had a comfort level of what the recommendations were. My conversations with the traffic engineer at Taddy was that, you know, if you want a left turn lane, a designated left turn lane or something like that, it might help from a safety aspect that you have a designated left turn lane. It does not improve anybody's time frame as far as, you know, a delay from getting out or anything.
I understand.
Like that.
I totally understand that. We're looking at safety here.
Yep. And the only other recommendation that I had, which was more of a larger improvement, was, you know, somebody being able to take a left turn out of the subdivision would be some kind of major road improvement where you would have a medians in the Highway C where somebody could do a two-stage turn.
So we could fit a bypass lane there.
I can't say we could. We'd have to look at the right of way, see if the right of way is adequate for an expansion of that type.
Matt, Taddy, they didn't. They really all they did was just review the report. Correct? They weren't out there.
They
physically
didn't do the
surveying it or anything.
They reviewed the traffic counts. They reviewed the everything that was in R.A. Smith's report. And gave me their opinion of whether it was, one, it was done correctly, two, the recommendations are reasonable or correct, because I wanted to make sure that it is looking at it from the village's perspective, not necessarily the developer's perspective. And, you know, they ended up concurring that, yeah, there really wasn't a whole lot that you could do to mitigate the traffic out there. With turn lanes or some kind of minor improvement, stop signs like that.
The representative from RE wants to talk. Let's see. And that makes all the sense in the world, except we have one little problem. We might be restricted with the amount of room we have to work with. So if we can provide some type of safety, even as minimal as it could be, would be better than what we're proposing now, which is nothing. And that's our concern here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I see they're going to have 93 lots if both of those are developed. To me, that's about 300 cars will be going in and out of that intersection every day. You figure two for each house and 100 for service vehicles and extra trips. And that doesn't include the future harbor traffic going down Highway C. I'm not going to vote for it till it's solved.
What do you think?
R.A. Smith, did you both the environmental and the traffic study? This is just for my curiosity. Your company did both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't look for Highway 50 to be worked on until 2022 or later.
Yeah, so
but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, this is a welcome subdivision. There's no question about it. It's going to enhance the village. It's something we need. But at the same time, we're asking for approval from this commission to bring this forward. And I don't have a problem with that, but I think I want to do it right. And I don't want to sit here and then after this is built out, to come back and find out that somebody was maimed, killed, or whatever because they got ass-ended. I don't want that to happen. And if we can avoid that, I mean, it's not going to guarantee it's not going to happen anyway, but at least we're giving somebody a half a chance to avoid an accident, and that's all I'm looking for. If that's unreasonable, I guess I'm unreasonable, but I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
Either. Would the commission go for a 30-day delay until we could talk to the county?
Do we have county representatives here? No. That would have been nice.
Put it in the form of a motion.
I would move that we table this for 30 days.
Is there a second?
The only thing that bothers me with that is how soon can we get an audience with the county?
Well, I think within a week we can do it.
You think so?
Yeah, yes. I got his phone number.
I met with him numerous times.
And yeah. I would be in favor of it then.
Are you seconding it?
Yes. Sorry.
The move to take it into, delay this project for 30 days for an opportunity to meet with county executive regarding traffic. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So ordered.
So the exact date that you want is March 26th. I have several items on that agenda that night, so we'll have a several-hour meeting. But for the notice purposes, so that we're not going to renotice everyone again, March 26th.
I'm going to ask for an amendment on it. That night is going to be busy. If we can go.
If I can get answers from the county executive, we'll put it on. If
right.
I can't, we're going to put it for 2 weeks later, and then we would table it again. But I just want to make sure that it's noted that it would be March 26th.
I'm sorry for this, but we have concerns here. I don't mean to screw you guys up, but okay.
Mike, you just have to get a voice with the county.
Okay. I'll call him in the morning.
Gene, do you want to continue with the rest with the items B through E?
So items B, C, D, and E are the next items on the agenda, and they're all related at this time. I'll be making one presentation, but we'll need separate actions. Item B is the public hearing and consideration of Plan Commission Resolution 18-05 for an amendment to the Village Comprehensive Plan for the request of Tim Lynch, PE of Lynch & Associates, on behalf of Lynch Chevrolet for their properties located at 10901 75th Street and their vacant property to the west for the proposed expansion of the Lynch Chevrolet dealership. And this is to amend the Village of Pleasant Prairie 2035 Comprehensive Land Use Plan Map 9.9. to correct and show the location of the field delineated wetlands within the park, recreation, and other open space lands with a staked wetland land use designation, accepting any wetlands that may receive an artificial exemption from the Wisconsin DNR, and to remove the urban reserve land use designation from the vacant property, in addition to update Appendix 10-3 of the Village of Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin 2035 Comprehensive Plan to include said amendments. Item C is also a public hearing in consideration of a conditional use permit, including site and operational plans, and an amendment to the DSIS system and associated access easement. And again, this is on behalf of Tim Lynch, on behalf of Lynch Chevrolet, for their properties at 10901 75th Street in Pleasant Prairie. And the next item is item D, public hearing in consideration of a zoning map and text amendment, also at the same request of Tim Lynch, for the property located at 10901 75th Street and the vacant property to the west. And this is to modify the zoning from the field delineated wetlands would be placed into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, and the vacant property that is zoned currently R2 Urban Single Family Residential District would be placed into the B2 PUD Community Business District with a planned unit development overlay district. And this would also be to amend the Lynch Chevrolet PUD in order to include the expansion area. And then finally, item E is to consider approval of a certified survey map, also at the request of Tim Lynch of Lynch Chevrolet. And then this is also for the property at 10901 75th Street and the vacant property to the west. Again, this would be for purposes of combining all the lots in, or the lot areas into one lot for the certified survey map. As part of the public hearing comments and as part of the public hearing record, the village staff has compiled a listing of findings, exhibits, and conclusions regarding the petitioner's request and are presented and described below. Under 1, findings of fact, the petitioner is requesting several approvals for the expansion of Lynch Chevrolet dealership located at 10901 75th Street in the village. Lynch had recently purchased the 1.3 acres of property to the west and removed all the structures from the property for the proposed expansion of the car lot display parking area for an additional 136 cars for the dealership. The expansion plans also include the construction of an additional parking lot behind the building with approximately 116 parking spaces, and to expand the on-site stormwater basin to handle the additional runoff from the paved surfaces. Two of the approvals are being considered by the Plan Commission at this meeting that include a conditional use permit, site and operational plans, an amendment to the DSIS system agreement and access easement, a comprehensive land use plan map amendment, zoning map amendment, and zoning text amendment. And this is for an amendment to the Lynn Chevrolet planned unit development overlay, as well as a certified survey map. These are provided as exhibits 1 through 4 for a copy of all the applications and the plans. Number 3, the properties are located in U.S. Public Land Survey Section 7, Township 1 North, Range 22 East of the 4th Principal Meridian in the village of Pleasant Prairie, Kenosha County, Wisconsin. The properties are identified as tax parcel numbers 914-122-071-0027 and 914-122-071-0015. Number 4, in September of 2011, the Village Plan Commission approved Conditional Use Permit 11-16, which is included as Exhibit 5, including site and operational plans and DSIS agreement and access easement for Lynn Chevrolet to operate a sales center for new and used automobiles and an auto repair maintenance facility, which included an approximate 31,000 square foot building and outdoor car display area. Number 5, site and operational plans and the conditional use permit amendment. The proposed expansion includes the construction of 2 parking lots and an addition of stormwater basin and drainage improvements. The parking lot expansion to the west will be used to display cars for sale and lease, and the existing stormwater basin is being expanded to handle the additional runoff. The existing driveway to Highway 50 on the western vacant property is being removed and the right-of-way restored by Lynch. A Wisconsin DOT permit is required for the driveway removal and the restoration within the right-of-way. The parking area to the rear of the building or the south side of the building will be used by employees and or car storage for cars to be processed prior to being placed off the sales lot or being removed from the sales lot. To the west of this parking area is a second stormwater basin facility to handle drainage from this parking lot and areas to the northwest that do not drain to the existing basin. The village has some concerns with respect to the design of the existing proposed wet basin, and a meeting was held last week to discuss this matter with the applicant. There appears to be insufficient room to create a 5-foot deep pond. The current design shows a maximum 3-foot deep pond with very small water pool surface. It is expected that this pond will have aquatic vegetation and a narrow area in the bottom of the basin and not be aesthetically pleasing and will create a nuisance condition. The pond shall be redesigned either as a dry basin or to provide a deeper pond. Both new parking lot areas will be required to provide adequate lighting. The light standards shall be required that match the type of standard color of the light and height to the existing on-site parking lots on the site. All light standards shall be located within the required parking lot islands. Landscape parking lot islands are required for the southern lot. A revised landscaping plan shall be provided to add and include additional landscaping around the perimeter of the site, adjacent to Highway 50 and adjacent to the basins. Number 6, amendment to the DSIS agreement and access easement. The facility currently has a DSIS system pursuant to Chapter 410 of the Village Municipal Ordinance, and is proposed to be amended to include camera coverage of the expanded areas. The DSIS affords the opportunity for the public safety departments, such as the police department and fire and rescue department, to visually examine the entire area of the commercial establishments, building, site entrances, exits, parking lots, and drive-through areas, and their sites that will provide emergency response personnel with a visual assessment of any emergency situation in advance of arrival without placing an undue burden on the village taxpayers. The amendment to the DSIS agreement and the amended DSIS access easement shall be finalized and executed by the owner prior to the issuance of any permits. The DSIS camera system additions and access easement modifications shall include the additional areas and shall be required to be prepared and approved to include the new parking lots and the stormwater basin, and additional camera areas and system updates are required per the police chief. and the IT technical services manager to cover all new parking lots and driveway areas. Camera plans, specs, and contracts are required to be included. The additional cameras shall be installed by the owner, inspected, and fully operational with live Wi-Fi connection to the Village PD prior to completion of the expansion work. Following the owner's installation of the additional cameras, the Village will inspect the system and verify its accessibility. The amended DSIS access easement shall provide to the Village for recording at the Kenosha Register of Deeds office. And again, that easement just needs to have the added legal description of the new area that we're including. And this information should be recorded at the deeds office prior to obtaining permits for the project. Number 7, the certified survey map. The proposed CSM will combine the properties into one parcel and will dedicate additional stormwater easements over the expanded basin and the new basin. Number 8, wetlands. The three wetland areas were field delineated by the Wisconsin DNR assured biologist Ron Laundry on May 17, 2017. As part of Exhibit 2 of Plan Commission Resolution 18-05, Wetland 1, which is the existing stormwater basin that was constructed as part of the original development in 2012-2013, is an artificial wetland, and the petitioner is requesting a written exemption from the Wisconsin DNR and the Army Corps of Engineer wetland regulations so that the stormwater pond can be expanded. Number 9, Comprehensive Plan Amendments, Plan Commission Resolution 18-05. The Village 2035 Comprehensive Land Use Plan Map 9.9 is proposed to be amended or corrected to show the location of the field delineated wetlands within the park, recreation, and other open space lands with a staked wetland land use designation, except for those that are getting the artificial exemption from the DNR, and to remove the urban reserve land use designation from the vacant property, which is tax parcel number 914-122-071-0015. In addition, to update Appendix 10-3 of the Village of Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin 2035 Comprehensive Plan to include these amendments. And finally, number 10, the zoning map and text amendments. The current facility property is Zone B2 PUD, Community Business District, with a planned unit development. The property that was purchased, currently zoned R2, is being combined for the expansion of the dealership and is proposed to be rezoned into the B2 PUD. In addition, the field delineated wetlands, excepting any wetlands that are receiving the artificial exemption, are proposed to be rezoned into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District. In addition, the existing Lynn Chevrolet PUD ordinance is being amended to include the additional parcel with the PUD. With that, this is a series of public hearings, and we'll hold the public hearings at this time, and I'd encourage any additional comments at this time.
Jen, if memory serves me correct, when Lynch moved out there, the understanding was that their access off of Highway 50 was only temporary. And with the widening of Highway 50, their access was going to enter in off of 104th. Is that at all affected in tonight's decision?
It should not have any effect. All of those items are still part of the original memorandum of understanding that was executed between the Village and Lynch and the Wisconsin DOT, with the exception that the road that lies to the east is 109th Avenue, and their direct access at some point when Highway 50 is under construction in 2020, 2021, some during that time period, that driveway, that main entrance, will need to close off of Highway 50, and then 109th Avenue will be their main entrance to the facility.
Thank you. This is a matter for public hearing. And we, yes, sir. You're first.
Yes, Kyle Kennedy, address 3700 22nd Street, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Questions for Matt and Gene, possibly. You mentioned that Southern Pond didn't meet the necessary grades to get to go to wet storage pond, or you were suggesting dry storage?
The Southern Pond was just, the size of it was small enough that they couldn't get a good wet, if you want to call it a wet pond, a good surface area for the water. So they were going to expand it a little bit to the north to make that water surface a little bit bigger so it's not necessarily looks like a aquatic vegetation in the bottom, but more of a wet pool.
So my question with that then is, when the discharge of that, when that pond comes out, is it going to discharge right off the south, that southwest corner?
That's correct.
Is there any concern for the fact that that's a, right now, it's a roadway right now, is there any concern for, the stormwater discharge already is, the shed water is flowing down that hill, but I know we're already facing issues with wetlands and stuff like that on that roadway. I think it's, is that 77?
Yes.
Is there any concern for additional water that's going to be discharged into that?
Well, if 77th is constructed, there'll have to be a storm sewer that picks up that detention basin drainage. I mean, it naturally flows down there right now, so it's when the road gets constructed, if a storm sewer goes through there, their storm sewer discharge would have to be connected to a storm sewer.
Sure. So my question with that follow-up, then, I'm not necessarily opposed to that, but my suggestion would be just whether or not that road gets built or not, is there a way that we could formulate an easement on the south side of that property to receive a stormwater pipe in the future in the event that we need it? We can't do it in the actual right-of-way. Because of wetland issues, because I know that on the Lynch side of that, there's a lot less wetlands that it might be able to avoid the impacts, whether they're primary or secondary impacts against the wetlands on the south side. If it becomes a permitting issue in the future, it might help out. And if it doesn't hurt Lynch, or they're not opposed to it, something else for consideration.
I'm not following you. You want an easement on the south side of their property?
Or in the right-of-way?
No, it would be north of the right-of-way, the public right-of-way. So maybe like 20 feet off the north side of 77th and a Lynch side of the property to going from east to west in the event we have to do a discharge pipe on the west side of that property. Because there's a DOT pipe that's getting introduced, a DOT pond to the east of that's getting introduced here in the near future. It just might be prudent planning if we could an easement if it's not going to bother or cause any issues to Lynch. I don't see any reason why we can't develop something in the right of way as part of it. And it might possibly be someplace that that we allow for Lynch to discharge their pipe in the future. The only reason I ask is because we've had this conversation in the past and we didn't know necessarily if we'd get this approved in the right of way. My understanding was it would be a responsibility of us to do it outside of the right of way. It just becomes a logistic issue on the south side versus the north side. If it doesn't, if Lynch isn't opposed to it, and it works out, is there just something we could put in the plan right away?
I guess your question leads to the development of the overall area. I know you've got interest in the remaining portion of the land. That might be something that you can discuss with Lynch themselves as far as, looking at the overall plan of the area. That road is either going to go in or ultimately it's going to go in or ultimately it's not going to go in, one or the other. If it goes in, the storm water will have to get picked up by the road because the road will be curb and guttered with its own storm sewer system. If not, I really don't know how the remaining portion of the area is going to be developed. Again, I guess the overall storm water management of the area could be worked out between the property owners as far as an overall concept.
The only reason I brought it up here just means because when I brought it up in the past that Gene and you were with a phone call, was that if that was going to become a municipal easement for stormwater easement that would have to be constructed to the bill of specs and ultimately be adopted by the village. So I don't know if it made sense to have it in there as a village right of way, or I'm sorry, a village easement for future stormwater discharge, or if it made sense. I mean, I don't mind working with Lynch myself and doing it, but it's ultimately going to be could become a thing where it's a Pleasant Prairie easement, then why not just get it out of the way right away as part of the approval.
So as shown on the certified survey map, not this one, but on a subsequent page, they are required to grant easements to the village, stormwater drainage, retention basin, access and maintenance easements. So both of their basins do have easements over them Again, it's you can see the one, but you can't see the other one on this particular plan sheet. But they will be required to grant easements to the village for the stormwater basin areas for stormwater easement purposes. It's a blanket easement over the stormwater basin areas that's granted to the village. Well, I think what you're trying to do is kind of set a record in for the DNR so that if they determine again at some point in the future that their basins become wetlands, that they're artificially created and that there can't be, there's no restriction that's being placed on Lynch or for on your future, your property, that would say that, that they can't manipulate their basins in order to deal with the stormwater.
Sure. Yeah,
I think that's what you're saying, but I'm not. So
I'm just curious, are you a developer, are you an owner of property over there?
Yeah, so I control the property all around Lynch.
Oh, okay, I understand your concern.
Yeah,
okay.
So, it, you know, and we also have some other things moving forward on the south side of the property. Hopefully everything goes well, you guys will be seeing some new plans here in the future, near future. So I do have concern for that part of the roadway. Other than that, on that section of it, the only other concern I had was for lighting. Going to be lighting this directed on inward all through the parking lot, fully controlled. Because mm-hmm. If we introduce right now the property is zoned residential, whether it stays residential or multifamily or something different in the future, lighting will be a concern. I mean, not now if it's farm field, but in the future, it'd be nice to have it addressed right in front. Maybe it is already. I don't know.
What was your discussion with the DNR with the lane? Yes.
Various? Anything particular? Permitting or
the whole you're talking about development from Highway 50 south to 79th Street, am I correct?
It's everything you see that's vacant out there.
Mm-hmm. So what was your discussion close to the properties on 79th? The reason I'm asking is because I live on 79th, and that's a disaster back there.
It is,
and for a developer and nothing to come about on that, it's not good. It's just not good. So my question to Gene is, you'd actually have, for any kind of easement in on that street, you would have to have all of the property owners, correct? All the way on 77th, the street. Now, do you own property
on?
Yeah,
I have everything. So the only part I'm talking about would be on the back side of Lynch, which they own the whole property. I had a plan that we put in place a while back about diverting the stormwater, the water that discharges out of the property across Highway 50. There's a pipe there in front of that little blue house.
Mm-hmm.
It just dumps water into the property, and it just kind of goes unchecked and goes wherever it wants in the rest of the property.
Into my backyard.
You know, hopefully in the near future here, we've got a
discharge water from, because the DOT pond is going to that southeast corner. I'm not sure if you've seen the drawings of the DOT pond's going.
I probably have, yeah, numerous times.
So the proposed DOT pond that's going to be put in there, and that's another pond that's going to discharge onto the property. Whether it's acceptable stormwater rates, discharge rates or not, doesn't really matter to me because the water is all dumping onto the property. So I'm trying to figure out a way to contain it, get it to the property, within my legal rights, and contain it so that it doesn't damage the property any further than it already is.
I don't know.
The east-west roadway in the Chateau Plains subdivision is 77th Street, mm-hmm. and it goes from basically the Eau Plains Parkway all the way east, all the way to 104th. That area in a number of sections of that, even though the village has municipal sewer and water, and we've talked about this several times over the last 5 to 7 years, pocket wetlands, and then now longer wetlands have started to develop and bring water through and down through 77th Street. We made several attempts ourselves as a village to try to get those areas permitted to put in 77th Street in order to accommodate Lynch and his development and just to be able to convey traffic east-west on the northern end of the Chateau area. But we were shot down each time, and basically, we're told that, you know, there's no justification. You have to look at some alternatives analysis. What Kyle's concerned about is that there are these long linear wetlands that are basically right in the right-of-way of the village's dedicated right-of-way that was platted back in the late 70s. Well, if you move north on Lynch's property, where Peggy's kind of done an east-west red line there, that's where those wetlands start. They start there, and they consume the entire width of our right-of-way. So because of that, we can't go into our right-of-way, we can't excavate, we can't put in storm sewer at this time, we can't do anything to remove those wetlands that have been created, just as Lynch can't do anything further south or can't tie into the right-of-way because of the wetlands. So they're hampered, and that's why their development is the way it is with respect to the basin. I trust that our discussion and conversation with respect to these wetlands and 77th Street and the Chateau Plain and the flooding out there is not going to finish this evening. This is something we've been talking about for years and years out there, but it has been made worse by the inability to repair tile lines, to be able to fill in wetlands, and to be able to do any development out in this area. So I understand what Kyle is saying, and we're doing what we can in order to have flowage easements or stormwater easements and things like that to protect these areas and to be able to work with them in the future. But the situation is today, the state DNR and the Corps of Engineers has made some decisions with respect to keeping Pleasant Prairie from filling any wetlands or adjusting anything or putting in 77th Street. And both Lynch as well as Kyle have had to deal with that because it's made them really think hard of how they could actually continue to develop their property or even start to develop their property. So we're not going to reach any conclusions on that today because there's agencies outside of the village that have control over the wetland filling.
I agree, but there needs to be discussion with the property owners to the south on 79th Street.
So
and
keeping
everybody.
In 17, okay, that's a whole different.
It is. I understand.
Matt he can talk to you about that. I mean, if we have the time, he's been working with the DNR, and I think they've finally been successful with respect to being able to move that project forward with respect to a stormwater management project, at least from the state's perspective. But that's different than what is being requested today.
Understood.
So there's two different issues, and I don't know if Matt, if you want to take just a minute or two to talk about where you are with respect to the 79th Street Chateau Plains property, which is a couple blocks south of this.
Yeah, just very briefly, regarding 79th Street and the stormwater project we've been working on there for a number of years, I guess, at this point in time. We have obtained DNR permitting, and we have now just obtained Army Corps permitting for that project. So after all this back and forth and fighting with them, they basically have now issued the permit. So that project in itself can here shortly start moving forward.
So
that does not necessarily all the stormwater up in this project does not drain down there. It drains to the west, but doesn't get down to the existing subdivision. But anytime you're dealing with wetlands, it's a battle with the DNR and Army Corps.
So what behind Lynch, the 77th, you're looking to go towards the Kilbourne Ditch?
This area right now drains to basically the right-of-way. It goes west. There is field tiles throughout this vacant land. Eventually gets to the Kilbourne Ditch here without going to the existing subdivision. There's a divide between Lynch and the existing subdivision. That drainage north of that divide goes to the Des Plaines. South of it goes kind of where the wetland is behind your property and down that way.
Matt, real quick, this is another issue, but it involves the Kilbourne Ditch. There's something going on in Racine County that's going to affect the Kilbourne Ditch, maybe severely, in Pleasant Prairie and the city.
Question to Matt, just out of curiosity, is there any reason they couldn't tie the two basins together, the retention together?
Yeah, there is, actually. It's elevation difference on the property. The developer was directed to the north basin drains north to storm sewer and Highway 50 that goes just to the west and eventually discharges out, I think, in the road ditch down there. There is an elevation difference between the south pond and the north pond, so they can't get everything, like the south parking lot, they can't drain to the north pond. So one pond is higher than the other.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir.
It past the current lot that we're
I don't know that it's necessary to keep that cross access any longer. It dead ends into another expansion of their parking lot. I think that that's a decision the Plan Commission and Board can make if they would like to remove that cross access. Again, at that time, there was an existing home and an existing property to the west. I don't know that it's really a great idea to have cross access cutting through a parking lot. Obviously, we would use it for emergency access now, but the fire department can go through wherever in that lot. But it's up to the Plan Commission and the Board. I'm trying to think of a good reason why to keep it at this point. Eventually, their access to Highway 50 is going to be gone, but I don't know that it's really necessary to keep that. It would have to be vacated, Kurt. I mean, that it would have to, it can't just be an action of the Plan Commission tonight. There would have to be a vacation document drafted, and it would have to be officially vacated and removed from the CSO.
It's just the fact that on the CSO, it could be removed, but it's not granted a property. It's just that it's a process.
Thank you.
Gene, that's just going. That's just going to his new pavement over there.
Correct. They just purchased that property last fall, mm-hmm. And it was a different landowner at that time, and if it would have developed for a different commercial use, then it might have needed that cross-access, similar to what we have west of Highway H, south of 50, where there's cross-access through the commercial properties.
Sure.
This is kind of a little bit different circumstance. Their product, if you will, is all outside. And so, and the only benefiting landowner would be the one to the west, and they bought that property. So the question is whether or not it's necessary to have an emergency cross access going through your property to get to your property.
Yeah, that I can see. And so if whoever owns the property to the west of the recently purchased one, if a cross access easement is required, that can be taken care of at a later time then.
Well, we can take a look at that to see if that's of any concern or if they could get access to the west or not.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with vacating it.
If nobody needs that access and they're the only ones benefiting from that access, then I think that we can move towards that end. But we just need to take a look at that property to the west just to make sure that they have access, because they can't get a commercial access to Highway 50. Those access rights have been taken away by the state, so we need to make sure that that property can continue to get access.
Okay. Agree.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing. Any comments or questions from the staff?
I have none.
I learned more about floodwater tonight than I ever did.
Discusses with Mr. Cruz when he's
yeah, really. I'll move for approval.
Of everything. Are you approving item B?
I'm approving item B, yes.
Second. Is there a second?
I got my second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the Plan Commission Resolution 18-5 and send a favorable recommendation to the Village Board, subject to the terms and conditions outlined in the staff memorandum. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered.
Move approval of the conditional use permit.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the conditional use permit, including site operation plans. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Mr. Chairman, I think that you want to add to that one with a condition that a recommendation from the Plan Commission that consideration be given for the vacation of that 24-foot-wide access.
Okay. Pardon me?
In part of the recommendation of the motion, you want to include a provision or a statement that talks about the potential vacation of that 24-foot-wide access between the properties.
Yes.
That was not in the staff comments.
We'll include that.
Included in the motion?
Yes, in my motion.
Included in the second?
Second.
Bill, ready to vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I'll approve item D.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the zoning map the text amendment, subject to the terms and conditions outlined in the statement memorandum. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. And item E, CSM.
Move to approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the CSM, subject to the terms and conditions outlined in the staff memorandum. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Item F, consider the request of David Elizabeth Jantz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission, this is a consider the request of David and Elizabeth Jantz, owners of the property located at 3840 107th Street, for approval of a certified survey map to subdivide the property into three parcels. The petitioners are requesting to subdivide the property located at 3840 107th Street, tax parcel number 924-122-252-0495, into three parcels. The property is currently zoned R4, Urban Single Family Residential District, which requires lots to have a minimum frontage of 90 feet on a public road and a minimum lot area of 15,000 square feet per lot. Lot 1 is proposed to be 72,450 square feet with 229 feet of frontage on 107th Avenue and 316 feet of frontage on 39th Avenue. Oh, that should be 107th Street, not 107th Avenue. Lot 1 has an existing home on the property with direct driveway access from 107th Street. There is no direct driveway access allowed to Lot 1 from 39th Avenue. Lots 2 and 3 are proposed to be both 30,086 square feet each with 95.11 feet of frontage on 107th Street. Municipal sanitary sewer and water mains and laterals are available to service the new lots on 107th Street. A stormwater grading and drainage plan was reviewed and approved by the Village Engineering Department to handle the stormwater for the three lots. Dedicated public stormwater drainage access and maintenance easements are being provided over these drainage areas as shown on the CSM. The Lot 1 owner or the petitioner will be responsible for installing the drainage swales along the northern property lines within the easement areas. This grading work shall be completed and inspected by the village pursuant to the existing erosion control permit issued with the construction of the new home under construction or just completed on Lot 1 prior to the issuance of any building permits on Lots 2 and 3. The owners of the lots, respectively, will be responsible for maintaining the rear drainage swales, and the owners of Lots 2 and 3 will be responsible for completing the specific grading on each of their Lots 2 and 3 at the time the lots are developed. The proposed land division conforms with the minimum regulations of the R4 zoning district requirements related to the lot area and lot frontage and the requirements of the land division and development control ordinance. The staff recommends approval subject to the comments and conditions as outlined in the staff memorandum.
It's a pleasure.
Move approval of CSM.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the CSM subject to the terms and conditions outlined in the staff memorandum. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. A motion to adjourn would be ordered.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We stand adjourned.